This evening's scripture reading will come from Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34. Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 34. And what more shall I say, for the time will fail me, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. For weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight.
I hope everybody had a good afternoon. I came out to get in the car, and I'm like, man, it feels like a fall day out here. And the sun was out, and it was nice. So hopefully more of those things to come. Tonight I want to speak to you from the book of Judges, and we're going to look at some things in the life of Samson. This life of Samson, man, he's got it all, right? He's a burly, strong man. You know, he's an Olympic athlete. there's love interests. I mean, it's got the whole thing. A Hollywood producer would love this, right? So Samson, he's kind of a strange fella. I don't think I can relate to him very well because I don't understand where he comes from. The closest thing that I can come from is, I think he was an only child, so that explains Allison. So you got to watch out for those only child situations. Those guys get treated really too well. So anyway, we're going to look at Samson a little bit tonight. Samson. One of the big encouragements that I take from the life of Samson is he was not a perfect person, but he was mentioned in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews. And I think that's something that we need to bear in mind. We oftentimes think that we have to be perfect. And I'm not talking the perfection that God provides us through washing us clean and us rising to walk in newness of life. Obviously, that's the kind of perfection that we need. We think that if we're not perfect in all our actions, all our words, all our deeds, that we're worthless sometimes. One of the big things I take from the life of Samson is that God used his weaknesses to his purposes. And I think God can do that in our life today. He's a complex hero of faith. He was chosen by God to deliver the people from the Philistines in the days of the Judges. And if you looked at the cycle in the Judges, Israel would cycle through sin, then they would be oppressed, then they would repent of their sin, and then God would restore them. That cycle goes on and on and on in the book of Judges, and probably in a lot of the Old Testament. Certainly if we looked at Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, if we looked at other times in the scriptures, we would see where God's people were oppressed because of their sin, and then God would eventually restore them. So the first thing that I want to look at here, and if you just want to read through this sometime, Judges chapter 13, 14, and 15 and 16 has all the different items regarding Samson's life. The first thing that I want to look at in Samson's life that I think he could have done better is obey his parents. Samson was blessed with godly parents. And I know some of you are thinking, you know, I've been an adult for a long time. Do I really have to obey my parents? So, I don't know. If I look at the scriptures, I don't really see a a subtext there that says you don't have to obey your parents when you're this age, right? More to the point, I see where Jesus honored his father and obeyed him and did so to death on a cross. So I think obedience to our parents is an important thing. Obedience to our parents, even if they've gone on, they stood for something. They stood for a belief. And we can still honor that belief. We can still honor the things that they taught us. So this isn't just for McCaden and Mickey and these three and that one back there. Okay? It's not just for them. It's for all of us to understand. Samson was blessed with godly parents. In Judges chapter 13, it says that his mother was not fertile, and that God chose Samson's parents to bring forth Samson to save Israel. So not only had God chosen them to be blessed with a special child, but when Samson's mother came and told her husband, he didn't doubt his wife, but prayed to God. You know, I can only relate this to this. At one time, we weren't sure whether our daughter Amberly could have a child or not. And we get a call one day that she's pregnant, and we're just all rejoicing. So, you know, I don't know what kind of things that Samson's parents went through in trying to deal with not being fertile, but he didn't doubt his wife at all. And they prayed to God about it. And in doing so, the angel that had told Samson's mother that she was going to be pregnant came back and appeared again. The father, Manoah, and his wife showed proper hospitality. When they learned that he was the angel of the Lord, they prostrated themselves. We've never seen that before in Scripture, have we? Right? We see that in the New Testament. And the apostles told to get up. He's not to worship anybody but God, right? So, but the parents showed proper humility and reverence, according to Judges 13, 15 through 20. Later, when Samson tries to marry a Philistine, his parents appeal to him to marry an Israelite as God commanded in the law. And this is in Judges 14, 1 through 3. The curious thing about this is he didn't go to his parents and ask them to find a wife for him, or didn't seek permission. He told them, go get her for me. And I think that's curious. Telling your parents to go do something, I don't think it's supposed to work that way. So I think that Samson had a difficult habit of not honoring his parents. And then on top of that, they had taught him, you need to marry an Israelite woman, and he didn't want to do that. So he's stepping out of the things that have been taught to him, and he's not honoring what his parents have taught him. Samson wouldn't listen, and he insisted on doing things his way. Okay, have you ever insisted on doing something your own way rather than what your parents wanted you to do? Yeah, it's fun watching our grandkids. You try to show them how to do something, and I don't want to do it that way. They want to do it this way, right? So sometimes we let them fumble around with it for a while and then say, okay, you ready to try it our way now? So they learn. They learn there's a better way. So, I don't know, they'll get old enough to understand technology better than me, and then it'll all be over. But we need to understand that that Samson didn't always listen to God or listen to his parents the way that he should. And he insisted on doing things his way. It's been observed that his parents are probably one of the best examples of faith in the entire book of Judges. These were good people. So I think that's another lesson that we can take I don't know how many of you have known godly people who had children who went wayward. And you know that those parents did everything they could to try to raise that child right, which is a good thing. But children get to a certain age and they decide they're going to do things the way they want to do them. So parents, don't punish yourself. Just be glad you did what you could do. And there's encouragement in the scriptures that says, talk about them turning back to the right way. So there's always hope out there. All right, so Samson gets married, and as we read the account of Samson's life, we'll be reminded of the consequences of not heeding godly parents' instructions. We're going to see in his life the crop that is born from the seeds that he planted. Okay? The account of Samson's life reminds us that the need to be godly parents and to set proper examples and to provide proper guidance for our children is extremely important. How many preachers have you known that could save the world but lost their family because they weren't spending time doing that kind of work? If we know preachers, if we're working with one, we need to give them time with their families to work with their children and take care of their families. It also reminds us of the need to respect our parents as they teach us to walk in the law of Christ. Let's go over to Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. If you'll remember, one of the things that Jesus called the Pharisees out on was not honoring their parents. They would use a practice, rather than supporting their parents financially, they would use a practice by saying, well, everything that I have, I've already pledged to the temple. And so they would continue to use their wealthy goods. And when they died, did the stuff go to the temple? No. Did they ever help their parents out? No. This was a tradition that they had that was not appropriate. And so I would also say it's also an idea that when you're older, take care of your parents. Honor your parents. Okay? All right. So secondly, I want to put this next item under the concept of make no provision. So despite God blessing and choosing Samson to deliver the people, he was far from perfect. If we go back to Judges for a moment, Joshua, Judges, where are you at, Judges? There we go. Judges chapter 13, and let's go to verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in Mananadan between Zorah and Eshtiel. That is where Samson lived. Okay, so Samson was going to get started with things. And again, it was a blessing choosing him, but he was far from perfect. He had a lot of moral flaws. One of the big ones that he struggled with was lust. Let's go to Judges chapter 14 and verse 3. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. Okay, well, looking good, that's an important thing, I suppose. I used to tell my roommates in college, I said, you know, you have pretty girlfriends, but you better love them for more than just what they look like on the outside, because, you know, 30 or 40 years from now, they might not look like that anymore. And they would look at me like in disbelief, but I'm like, well, you got to get along with this person, right, for a long time. And guess what? You're not going to look like you look now either. And I would take my opportunity to remind him of those things. So He had a problem with lust. He wanted her because she looked good. Okay. His appetite for Philistine women also involved prostitutes in Gaza and culminated with Delilah, who betrayed him in Judges 16, 1 and 4. He had a problem with women. Not a good problem, right? And it ultimately caused his downfall. He didn't honor God in his calling as a Nazirite. Okay? When the angel came and talked to his parents, they were told that he was supposed to be under a Nazirite vow, which means he was never to cut his hair. Okay? And there was lots of other things involved with that. He was not supposed to be around dead flesh. He was not supposed to be around alcohol, etc. He was not supposed to be unclean. And he broke pretty much every single one of those. Okay? So again, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand him, but God used him for the purposes that he had. I understand what his heart was like at the end, and we'll get to that. But I also understand that him not being perfect and still having a relationship with God is something we need to hang on to. Okay? All right. So he struggled with lust. He didn't honor his calling as a Nazirite. He defiled himself as well as his parents by eating honey from the carcass of a dead lion. You know, I've read that and I just don't get it. Okay? This really cool thing, he's on his way to run an errand and a lion comes out at him and he kills the lion with his bare hands. Have any of you been to the zoo and seen a lion? They have paws about that there. I mean, they're huge. And for him to be able to be strong enough to kill that lion, that's pretty amazing. So he goes and does the rest of what he was going to do, and he comes back later, and bees have created honey in this dead lion. And he thinks that's the greatest thing on earth, and he takes the honey and eats it. And he gives it to his parents as well. He shouldn't have been doing that. All right, so he defiled himself and his parents by eating honey from the carcass of the dead lion. That's in Judges 14, 8, and 9. And if you want to go look at the Nazirite vow in more deep concerns, it's in Numbers chapter 6. All right, he involved himself in a 7-day drinking party in preparation for his marriage to the Timnite woman. And then in Judges 14, 10. I don't know that he drank, but he was around it. Okay? That's not something a Nazirite should be involved in. He struggled with anger and vengeance. Judges 14, 20 through 15, verse 5. He often appears to be motivated by selfish interests, focusing on what the Philistines have done to him personally. Okay? And he does a lot of things to kill a lot of Philistines, okay? God, again, uses these characteristics of him against the Philistines, but his anger and his selfish interests are not good. He doesn't seem to consider the interests of God or the suffering of his people. I wonder what he could have used that strength for other than revenge. Okay? He struggled with pride until it finally got the best of him in Judges 16:20. He was too proud to heed his parents and seek an Israelite wife. He was too proud to face humiliation at the hands of the Philistines. He was too proud to see that Delilah didn't want what was best for him. His lust and his pride led him to sin against God, and he suffered the consequences of his actions. He was humbled, humiliated, blind, and imprisoned, according to Judges 16, verse 23 and following. His attitude, his way of doing things, brought him down. He wasn't thinking about what God wanted. He wasn't thinking about doing things God's way. So he was humbled and humiliated. Samson challenges us to live godly lives and use our gifts for God's glory, not our own, according to Ephesians 4:17. He reminds us to check our pride and make no provisions for the lust of the flesh. Samson made all kinds of provisions for the lust of the flesh. And so it was very prevalent in his life. All right. The good thing about Samson is that he had faith. When we step back and look at Samson's life, he doesn't seem like a very moral or godly man. He looks a lot like the nation of Israel herself, vacillating between sin and faith. But despite all his failings, he is listed among the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:32. God planned to use Samson to begin to deliver his people. Again, if we go to Judges 13, verse 5, "For behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he will begin to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Let's remember that Israel was under the thumb of the Philistines at this time, and it was pretty bad. If we look at some of the other great folks of faith, in Judges, one that always that I'm always amazed at is Gideon. Okay, Gideon was working in hiding in a press. Okay, and God took a man like him, who tested him multiple times. I would say he was a timid individual, and made him a great leader of Israel. Okay, so God begins to use folks like Gideon, folks like Samson, to bring Israel back. God even used Samson's weaknesses to bring about his purposes. We see in moments of danger and crisis, God empowered Samson when he was threatened by a lion, when he lost his wager with the Philistines. So this whole thing with the lion, he goes out, he eats the honey, he marries this Philistine woman, and then he starts stirring up trouble with the Philistines. And he says, "Hey, if you can answer this riddle, I'll give you 30 outfits of clothing, and if you can't answer it, you have to give me 30 outfits of clothing." And so they pester his wife all week long, and he finally tells the wife, because she uses that womanly psychology on him, "Well, if you really loved me, you would tell me. Don't ever fall for that." He's like, "I didn't even tell my parents. Why would I tell you?" But he finally relents and tells her, and then she runs off and tells the Philistines. So he loses the wager. But he has a unique way of paying it off. He goes out and finds 30 Philistines, kills them, takes their outfit of clothing, and takes it back to pay off his wager. Okay? So, and God strengthened him during that time. When the men of Judah gave him up to the Philistines, God strengthened him. So, you know, Samson's caused so much problem with the Philistines. They're telling the Israelites, "Hey, you bring him to us." And the Israelites are afraid of the Philistines. So they go and they like, "Hey," they find him out in the wilderness and they say, "We got to take you in." And he goes, "Okay, as long as you won't kill me." So they, okay, fine. So they take him in, and he ends up, again, the spirit falls upon him, and he ends up killing a bunch of the Philistines who were trying to bring him in. The greatest thing, I think, is when he was blinded and imprisoned by the Philistines. In Judges 16, 28 through 30, "However, the hair of his..." Well, let me explain this for a minute. Again, his first wife was killed. You can read that in the scripture. The second, he went out and worked with prostitutes, and then he fell in love with Delilah, who betrayed him. Okay, And Delilah got him to tell what the secret to his strength was, and that's the length of his hair. Okay, so they came in, cut his hair. He had no strength, and they really humbled him and humiliated him. They blinded his eyes. They would bring him out and parade him at their feasts. And so in Judges 16, 28 through 30, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the governors of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate. For they said, "Our God has handed Samson, our enemy, over to us." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has handed our enemy over to us, even the destroyer of our country, who has killed many of us." So it happened, when they were in high spirits, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, so that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the governors of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was entertaining them. I want to tell you that I don't think he was juggling for them or anything like that. They were making fun of him, and that's how they were getting their entertainment. Then Samson called the Lord and said, "Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed outward powerfully so that the house fell on the governors and all the people who were in it. And the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his lifetime. Then his brothers and his father's household came and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah, so that he had judged Israel for 20 years. So at the end of his life, somewhat repentant, he begs God to give him his strength back so that he can take vengeance upon these people. And God enables that. You know, they were worshiping Dagon. They were giving Dagon the credit for all this stuff, and Dagon, we know, is a false god. There are other times when the Philistines worship Dagon and bad things happen to their idols, okay? When they put the Ark of the Covenant in their temple, Dagon fell flat on his face. Dagon, not good, okay? So God would use people, and he used Samson to his purposes, but Samson was also able to get his vengeance. So there are glimpses of his trusting faith in his prayers to God. Judges 15:18, "Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, 'You have handed this great victory over to your servant, and now am I to die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?' And then verse 19, "But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that the water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkore, which is in Lehi to this day." So he would pray to God for things. In Judges 15:28, Samson called to the Lord and said, "Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time." And he was able to push those pillars out. So we're told that by faith, Samson stopped the mouths of lions and was made strong out of weakness in Hebrews 11:33-34. His heart was towards God. So Samson's disastrous decisions were turned from tragedy to triumph by God again. And I would tell you that that's something that we can see as a pattern in our life as Christians. We know the tragedy that we've had in our life, and that would be our sin. And we know that we were lost without any way of making up for it. There's no way we could pay God. There's no way we could rescue ourselves. But God rescues us. We understand that He can turn that tragedy of our distance from Him into triumph when we are baptized into Christ and rise to walk in newness of life. When we walk the road towards heaven, walking in faith, walking in newness of life. Samson reminds us that God is all-powerful and can even use our failures to accomplish His will. Romans 8:28 says that pretty clearly. He reminds us of the importance of self-control in Titus 2:11 and 12. Self-control isn't very popular in this world today. I think we can look at Samson and find out there's a good reason to have self-control. So we can learn from Samson and his life and apply that to our Christian life. We can understand that we don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be trying. And we do have to have a heart towards God, as we've mentioned this morning. This evening, if you're not a Christian and you need to turn your life over to Him, if you want Him to make triumph out of tragedy, we would love to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you become a Christian but you're having a struggle and you need help, we can always call upon the name of the Lord together. We'd love to help you. Come while we stand and sing.